very soon, I guess, immediately we are done with our budget votes, it is going to be the first matter that we are going to be processing. So we thought that as the two committees, before we start, we need to get this legal advice on the processes. I must also introduce my co-chair.
And maybe just an apology for coming now, but I think the chair has indicated what our problem was. But I don't want to delay this meeting any longer, and I think maybe we should just go ahead with the briefing.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I now hand over to the legal services? The written opinion has been circulated to all members and to political parties. They are going to take us through the written political, in fact, legal opinion. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, three legal questions were raised with us by the Portfolio Committee, and we apologize that our opinion is addressed to the Portfolio Committee, because the Select Committee also had approached us for advice on how it should proceed. But unfortunately, the opinion, because you had written to us earlier, so the opinion is in the name of the Portfolio Committee. But we are grateful that, Chair, you were able to create the platform for both committees to sit at the same time. There were three questions that were raised with us that we needed to address in the form of a legal opinion. The first question was for us to advise on the process and the procedure that the committees must follow in dealing with the matter. The second one was to deal with the issue of Honorable Advocate Breitenbach, whether she should participate in the deliberations of the Portfolio Committee. The reason for that question was that Advocate Breitenbach was one of the witnesses before the Mukhoro Commission, whose decision or recommendations you are dealing with. The third question was the issue of applicability of the Public Service Act in relation to Advocate L. Mukhwebi. The committees will be aware, of course, that Advocate Mukhwebi was a special director of public prosecution. Now, Section 12 of the NPA Act speaks to the director, National Director of Public Prosecutions, and speaks to the Deputy National Director of Public Prosecutions. So that was the context in which the question was raised. Chair, I'm not going to take you through the entire opinion, because it was distributed, and I think members have had the opportunity to go through it. I will just take you to the specific areas where we deal with the legal questions that have been posed to us. In respect of the first question of the procedure, Chair, this is a difficult question in the sense that the rules do not provide a procedure for dealing with the removal or the restoration of the National Director of Public Prosecution. So within the rules, there is no specific rule that governs how you should do this. But the Constitution empowers Parliament to determine its own procedures. And the rules, Rule 167 in particular, empowers the committee in dealing with matters that have been tabled with it to determine its own procedures. So we're quoting these two, Section 55 of the Constitution and 167 of the rules, because it is our view at the end of the day that the committees are at liberty to determine how they proceed in dealing with this matter in the absence of a specific rule. We suggest in the opinion that the information that has already been tabled before the committee, firstly, which is the Muhoro report with its findings and recommendations to the president, is a relevant matter that the committee must be considered. The second document is the representations that the president had received from both of them in respect of the recommendation of the committee, and ultimately the decision of the president to remove them. These are, at the moment, the relevant documentation that the committee must consider. What may suffice that we should say, Chair, here, is that in the absence of a specific rule that governs your process, the requirement that you will need to satisfy as a committee is that whatever procedure you decide to adopt, it must be fair. Now, fairness in law means both parties must be heard before a decision is taken. Now, heard in this context does not mean they have to appear in person before the committee. There is a report, there is a decision of the president. There are sufficient representations which they have both made to the president, which culminated in the decision that the president has taken. So we're not at all suggesting that there must be another hearing. And I think in the opinion we make the point that it is not up to Parliament to reopen the hearing. A hearing has happened, and it has resulted in the outcome. And I think at this point, Chair, it may be important that I say this. If you look at Section 12, it invites Parliament to make a decision with regard to the restoration of the two officials. It does not invite Parliament to remove them. The decision to remove them lies with the President, and that decision has been made. Whether the committee has good grounds for it to restore them to the office, that's what the committee has to consider. So that's the decision that the committee has to make. Chair, if I may proceed to the second question, which relates to the recusal of Advocate Breitenbach. We come to a conclusion, Chair, that given that she was a witness and that in the committee she is not the sole decision maker, in our view, legally, there was no requirement for her to recuse herself. But we appreciate that her recusal from the committee, because we understand she has already written a letter to that effect. We are of the view, therefore, that her recusal may help to enhance the perception of fairness of the process that you will be undergoing. So in as much as we reach a conclusion that there may be no legal requirement for her, because she's not a judge that has to preside and make a decision on the matter, she represents a political party in a committee, in a multi-party committee. So we opine that there was no need for it, but we appreciate that her recusal may help to enhance the perception of fairness in the committee. Lastly, Chair, we go and speak to the issue of whether Advocate Mukwebe should be before this committee, since he is not a national or a deputy national public prosecutor. If you look at 12.6 as it's on its own, it does not refer to special director. And I think that's where the confusion may have come. But if you go to Section 14.3, it specifically says, with respect to all directors and special directors, for the purposes of their removal, Section 12 is applicable, in particular, 12.6. So yes, Chairperson, Mr. Mukwebe is appropriately before this committee for a decision on the matter. Chair, I think those were the three areas, without really going through the word for word through the opinion, which I think would be unfair in the circumstances of this one. I don't know, Chair, with your permission, maybe my colleague has any something to add on the matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Uh, thank you very much to the legal services. I think we have all just received the document as political parties and as members today. I would really open for clarity-seeking questions on the basis of what you have heard. And then as parties, we will go through the document and formulate our own positions. And then when we meet, then we will be able to take the process forward.
Thanks, Chair. I think just in terms of your opinion on the first matter about procedure, and I think perhaps the Chair has already given a way forward, but just so that there's a level of comfort by all members, because we are two separate houses, and the... In terms of the rule you mentioned, we can determine our own procedure. And in my discussion with the chairperson, I think what we're saying is that procedure-wise, we will jointly engage on the process. But in terms of taking a decision on the matter, we will obviously table it in our various houses. Just your view on that. Thank you.
Honorable Hisham, Honorable Tedra.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, I'm still noting hands. Advocate Mlaute, Honorable Swart, Honorable Horn. Welcome, Honorable Jose. Mohammed.
Thank you, Chair. Just a clarity, we of course note the opinion given in the various interpretations of the sections as it applies to special directors and deputy national directors. But just on the, since the notice or since the communication by the presidency to the speaker and as opposed to the reaching it as the committee, in terms of the time frame, we know about the 30 days, just to clarify the 30 days in terms of action. Would the 30 days be from the notice given, at the time of the notice given to the National Assembly, or to Parliament for that matter, because it's two houses, and what implications is that for the committee starting, say, work tomorrow? We also know that there is this issue about or soon thereafter, as the rules apply. Is there any perspective you have on that one? But we also, just to point out, the appreciate the opinion in that this process won't involve any appeal or review process at all, but to apply it in terms of paragraph 10, in terms of the opinion. But we will formulate our responses after the National Congress before the committees. Thanks.
Honorable Ntata?
No, thanks, Chair. Mine is an opinion is based on saying that is there any harm to adopt one report instead of keeping the reports being adopted into two separate houses? Is there any harm if you can just have one report and adopt it so?
Honorable members, we must also bear in mind that when we ask questions, it must be questions that would be from the opinion, because if you ask new questions, they might not have applied themselves to those questions. But we are at liberty to ask them, but we must also bear in mind that they might not have had an opportunity to apply themselves to those questions. Honorable Mlaute?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to clarity from the legal component of the Parliament. In terms of the legislation or law, what starts first before the decision of the president. Must the president take the recommendation of the inquiry and take a decision as it happened, that he dismissed them before the process of parliament? Is this the process of parliament in terms of the act, a rubber stamp, or is it in the constitution that the inquiry, recommendation, president take a decision, thereafter the process must come to parliament? For what good reason and in which act?
Very much, Honourable Swart.
No, thank you, Chair, and thank you for the legal opinion, which was prepared under significant pressure, having been requested last week. I think, Chair, just to clarify that, in other words, what you're saying is that we have got a very narrow mandate and that we purely are looking into the President's decision, as you set out in paragraph 10. The President's decision based on the Mahora Commission and make a decision on whether to restore the officials. And then we would apply ourselves to the report and any other relevant information which the President may have considered in arriving at that decision. And you say in paragraph 12, we have no legal obligation to provide procedural rights. In other words, are you saying it's not necessary to call them? And then lastly, you also indicate the time limits as well, which is obviously something that a further colleague referred to. But yes, paragraph 21, there is no obligation on the part of the committee to grant an oral hearing. So that to me is very important as we consider the fairness. We would obviously consider this opinion, but we would obviously need the relevant documentation. One would want to ask, and you might not know the answer to this, the representations that are referred to in paragraph 20. The documentation is the letter from the President, the Mahora report, and the representations of both Jibo and Mareba. One would presume those representations are subsequent to the Mahora inquiry, prior to the President being heard. So my understanding is the advocates would have had a hearing at the inquiry. The inquiry would have brought a finding. Subsequent to that, they would have made representations further to the President. And we are now looking at the President's decision. So just to elucidate on the issue of fairness, I think, is key of what you say, how we apply our minds to, and to what degree we need further oral evidence or representations. That is what we're going to grapple with. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Mine is more or less in line with the Honourable Molalutsi and the Honourable Swart. I would request that we be officially furnished with the Mahora report, the representations, and the formal decision of the President with his reasons, in order for us to come back to this committee with a proposal or an opinion as to the relevant process. Because it's quite clear that even from the opinion, there might be questions arising from those three documents which we can't foresee for now. But in principle, we do not have a problem with the opinion received. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have I covered all the hands?
Okay.
Thank you. Services.
Chair, the first question, if I may perhaps take it with the third question, it related to the committees jointly considering the matter and deciding it separately and making two separate decisions. And the third question related whether there is any harm in the committees adopting one report. I think the best response I can give at the moment is that I got a sense that the matter was referred separately to the different committees. Remember, the committees are activated by referrals by the presiding officers. So I do not believe that it is within the discretion of the committees to decide to do a joint report. But in as far as consideration together, I didn't anticipate this question, Chair. I would like to take this matter for further consideration before I give an answer on that. But it's a matter we can come back to you quickly. But we would just like to carefully consider what the implications of that in view of the different referrals to the committees. There was a question about the 30 days. The issue of the 30 days, Chair, maybe I should have touched on it because we deal with it in the opinion. That Parliament is required to take to pass a resolution within 30 days. That is the first requirement. But there is a second option to Parliament, because the same section says, or as soon thereafter as is reasonably possible. I think what I should say about my reading of the section is that it requires Parliament to deal with the matter expeditiously. Where it is, for whatever reason, not in a position to do it within 30 days, it must still do so within a reasonable time. So I think the best advice we can give to the committee in this respect that we need to deal with this matter as an urgent matter, not rely on the second option of thereafter. The committee should act with the necessary urgency in dealing with the matter. The next question related to the issue of procedural rights. I think what we are trying to convey, Chair, is there has been an elaborate process that was followed. There were terms of reference, there was a commission established, all the parties that are affected were given an opportunity to appear before the commission, to lead evidence, to cross-examine witnesses. And once that process had concluded, and I need to say this, all the parties were legally represented in that process. So whatever issues needed to be raised, one would like to think they were raised in that process. But even after the commission had made its findings and recommendations to the president, from our reading of the documents that were provided to us, the president still went back to the two officials and said, here are the findings of the commission. This is the recommendation to me. Give me your reason why I shouldn't give effect to the recommendation. So it seems to me that the president went to great extent to make sure that he hears all the parties. And I have had the opportunity to see the submissions that both officials had made, very substantive, made by their lawyers to the president, as to why they should not be removed. So all we are saying is there seems to have been a very thorough process, but that is a thorough process at the level of an executive. What we are suggesting was that the committee must consider the documents before it, make an assessment, and for it then to determine if it needs additional information or it needs people to appear orally and make presentations to the committee. That decision is entirely within the discretion of the committee after having assessed the information before it. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to make that, to assist you there. It's an assessment that the committee has to make.
Did I leave anything?
I think, Chair, I've covered all the questions. Oh, there was one question, I think it was Mr. Mulaudzi, about... Is it proper for them to be removed before Parliament has made a decision? I think that was the question. Chair, if you read the section 12.6b speaks about removal and that the President must, once he has made that decision to remove, within 14 days refer that decision to Parliament. I seem to get two things from that, that there is a removal decision by the president, and the second decision that follows is whether parliament is convinced that they should be restored to their position. So it's not one before the other, but it's a continuum. The president has done his part. If parliament, for whatever reason, is persuaded that the officials must be restored, it is for parliament to make that decision and communicate it to the president. So I do not believe that there is a disjuncture in between those two. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chawa. Sorry. My apologies. Don't sue me. Honorable members, we have heard from the legal services. I think what is left now is for us as political parties to go through the document and make an informed decision. We are going to, as two separate houses, we are going to be convening our meetings where we are going to be discussing the process going forward. But there is an issue of there is an issue which you said that you are still going to go and consider it. Maybe you will come back to us. And there's also an issue that was raised by Mr. Horn that we must get all the documents. I think that one refers to the committee secretary, that as the committees, we must get all the documents that have been specified so that we can be in a position to consider all of them. But I think the respective committee secretaries, under the direction of the chairpersons, will convene the next meeting where we'll take the matter forward. Is that agreeable, honorable members? The suggestion is that we would consider the matters jointly, but the report will be separate, and we will vote separately. We are just trying to save time. Let me also welcome the members that have joined us. They were held up also in another meeting. So I think they will be briefed by their respective delegations about what transpired. But we have received a guidance from the legal services. The copies are going to be circulated to yourselves before you leave the meeting. Honorable members, I think that brings us to the end of the meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you.